It's a trap.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 7 of Radio TCX. I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. And we are now living under the shadow of the giant U-boats that have started flying around.
Yes, Wave 8 is now available and tournament legal.
We're excited to talk about it. But before we get into the goodies of Wave 8, we got to talk about our last two store championships here.
All right, let's get into it. So first off, we have the Games and More Store Championship that took place in Byron, Minnesota. This was a significant tournament because this was the first Minnesota Store Championship that Wave 8 was legal to play with.
Yeah, so did Wave 8 make a big presence in the list you saw?
Not a huge presence, but looking at the top four results after Swiss, in first we had Kevin Lines with actually a perfect MOV, so we can talk about that.
Have we had anybody who had a perfect MOV in Swiss yet?
I don't believe so. We had a couple that were very high up there, maybe 100 or so points away from a perfect MOV, but this is the first time that a player has won a store championship this season and has not lost a single ship in the Swiss rounds.
Very good job, Kevin.
But as for Wave 8 in these lists, we don't see a lot of Wave 8. No Wave 8 ships made any of the top cut lists, but we do see several adaptabilities. The new Elite Pilot talent that allows you to raise or lower your pilot skill by 1 point after you've done setup. We see several of those showing up here. Other than that, I didn't see any other Wave 8 representation in these lists.
Right, and on like Darth Vader, who the 1 point for Veteran Instinct to bump up to 11 was sometimes just over the top unnecessary.
Yeah.
Why not just cut a point and just bump them up to a 10 instead.
And it definitely saves you the point too, which can be a big deal in a tight Imperial list. So this was actually a pretty interesting store championship final top four. Pretty much all the lists depend very much on high pilot skill ace ships, both in the Rebel and the Imperial faction. No scum to be found in this top four. The final table was between Kevin Lines, who was flying a Kornhorn, Jake Farrell, and Jemmer Sojin list, versus Kyle O'Connell, who was flying a kind of classic Whisper Darth Vader Omega Leader list.
I think the first thing I want to talk about is Gemmer.
Gemmer Sojin, yeah, the A-Wing pilot we don't see a lot of in competitive play.
I feel like any
kind of play, yeah.
I mean, a very strong pilot ability of adding an extra evade or agility to your ship when you're at range one.
But he kind of suffers in that he is a pilot skill 5 ship, and he is an A-Wing without a native elite pilot talent slot, so you have to use your A-Wing test pilot just to get your first elite pilot talent slot.
Right, so there's no crazy shenanigans you can do with double stacking elite pilot talents. He gave him push the limit, which is usually the first one you go to with an A-Wing, and both of his A-Wings do not have the proton rockets. Obviously, he's jammed for points getting 3 aces into a list.
Exactly, he had to opt for adaptability over veteran instincts because Jake Farrell could not afford that in the list.
Right, and usually at the point where I'm refitting my A-Wings to drop their missiles, I kind of question, do I want to run A-Wings at all at that point?
Their damage output without proton rockets is definitely limited because they only have those 2 attack dice natively.
Now, again, some lists, this can be fine. You can just incrementally get damage and rely on your defensive dice to stay ahead on the damage curve. But against that final matchup against 3 Imperial Aces, I think those A-Wings probably had a tough time getting damage through.
Yeah, Kornhorn, I'm sure, definitely had to do most of the work. Unfortunately, Carson and I were not able to make this tournament, but congratulations to Kevin Lines, who did win the tournament. And from what I heard, he only lost Jemmer in that final match. So the whole day, he only lost that 1 A-Wing.
Yeah, this looked like an exciting intro to Wave 8. Obviously, we're not going to see much right off the bat because people are still figuring it out.
But just a taste in this first tournament.
Right. Congratulations to Kevin.
Yeah, congrats, Kevin. He had made several top cuts already, so it was really cool to see him win a store championship.
Absolutely. And moving on to our final store championship of the season, Your Mom's Basement in White Bear Lake. This was won by Joe Kaufman. Good job, Joe, on that third win.
Yeah, and this was a cool tournament, too, because this was the first tournament we've really seen a lot of Wave 8 representation.
Yeah, and Joe actually flew only Wave 8 ships. He flew the contracted Scout with Deadeye, R4 Agromech, Plasma Torpedoes, Extra Munitions, and Guidance Chips, and he flew 3 of these. So this is the Jumpmaster 5000 Pilot Skill 3.
Generic, the only generic on that pack.
And the generic comes with Elite Pilot Talent slot.
Which is pretty cool. We don't see that a lot on generic.
And that's part of what makes this 3 Jumpmaster list very effective. And we'll get more into this list later. Yeah, and coming in at 4th place at the end of Swiss, Gloria Kim flew Dash Rendar and Tycho.
Now, the dash was kind of a typical push-the-limit dash with Kyle Katarn, so when you relieve the stress, you get a focus token and all. But Tycho was a little different.
Well, and Tycho hasn't really shown up that much, but because of the new elite pilot talent, Rage. So Rage is a one-point elite pilot talent that, as an action, you can receive a focus and take two stress, and then when you attack, you can reroll up to three attack dice.
Yeah, which is pretty cool, and it pairs well with Tycho's pilot ability, where he can continue to take actions even if he has stress tokens, meaning he doesn't have to really worry about these double stress effects from the Rage card.
Right, the negative effect of Rage doesn't matter at all to Tycho. He doesn't care how many stress tokens he's got.
On a regular ship, that would pretty much deny you an action for sure on your following turn, because you can only typically only clear those stress tokens one at a time.
And Tycho can do this turn after turn after turn, and allows him to also boost into range one and just take that range action, which allows him to still be able to fire his proton rocket and can reroll up to three dice on that five die attack.
And still have the focus to spend to convert any focus results.
That's pretty close to a functional target lock at that point. So that's giving him an extra action efficiency on top of the push limit.
And definitely upping his damage output potential, even just on those regular two dice attacks, if you're always focused up and always able to reroll attack dice. You can spend your other action on an evade or a boost for positioning.
And this is costed pretty similar to Jake Farrell, who also is another A-Wing ace that gives you really good action efficiency. However, Tycho, in a world where we have Y-Wings giving out double stress with R3, A2, mm-hmm. and K-Wings with Tactician and Twin Laser Turret also giving out two stress, Tycho doesn't care how much stress he hits, and can still as a functional A-Wing ace.
Definitely nullifies the negative effect of a lot of those control lists we're seeing.
Right, and so this is pretty cool. Just that one elite pilot talent really brings this ship right back into the game.
New life right into this little A-Wing. In third after Swiss, we had Michael Little. He was not actually flying any Wave 8 ships. He was flying a pretty classic Darth Vader, Soontirfel, Omicron group, Palpatine shuttle.
The one thing to note here is Soontir has a targeting computer instead of a stealth device or a hull or shield upgrade. Once again, we are still seeing a move away from stealth device because of Crackshot being just such an effective way to just pop that right off.
Get that. And even TLTs who have a lot of opportunities to do that one damage.
And targeting computer is a good way to really up Soontirfel's limited damage output.
Yeah, definitely a good meta call, I think, from Mike Little.
And in second place of Swiss, we have Cody Frechette, who's flying a pretty interesting rebel list.
Yeah, I really like this. It's kind of the kind of list I like to fly. Lots of ships.
Started off, we have Big Star Collider with R4, D6, and integrated astromech.
Now, Carson, can you remind me, R4, D6?
So R4, D6 is pretty complicated. When defending, if your ship suffers two or more uncanceled hit results, so not critical results, just regular hits, you can cancel those down to just two hits. And for each hit you cancel, you receive a stress token.
Receive a stress token. So those can pile up quickly, but it really helps alleviate damage incoming from four dice attack ships.
Right.
Especially like dual aggressors and ghosts now.
When this card was first released, it wasn't that important because people were still just mostly using two or three dice attack ships.
Right.
But in a world with phantoms and heavy laser cannon aggressors, this allows Biggs to really survive through multiple turns of taking heavy fire.
At the cost of probably losing his actions going forward with
absolutely,
those stress
but
dialing up.
That's not what Biggs is there for.
Right.
Now, when you take Biggs, I usually think, okay, you got some pretty impactful aces you want to protect. That is not necessarily the case here in Cody's list. He's got the Gold Squadron Y-Wing with Twin Laser Turret R3A2 and the BTL A4 Y-Wing title. So
standard stress hog we've been seeing. You
right.
can deal two stress if you catch someone in your firing.
Now, this is absolutely a ship you want to protect with Biggs.
Absolutely.
Usually those stress hog Y-Wings are target number one in a lot for a lot of lists because they cannot handle that double stress.
And at pilot skill 2, they can be pretty easy to kill if enough shots get fired at them, so you might not ever be able to get to shoot with your stress hog.
Now, the interesting ship in Cody's list, I think, is Rorik Garnet with just a dorsal turret. Now, dorsal turret is the new turret upgrade from the Ghost expansion.
Yeah, so the dorsal turret is a 3-point turret upgrade. And basically, it's a turret weapon you can fire with just your attack. You don't need to spend a focus or anything like blaster turret. It allows you to roll two attack dice, but when you're at range one, you get to roll an additional attack dice.
Okay, so blaster turret at range one without the focus, or range two, you're just rolling two attack dice.
Pretty much, yeah. But it's a good cost-effective solution, I think, for these Hawk 290s with good pilot abilities, where you might want to use the pilot ability, like in this case, Rorik's, to up to pilot skill 12, but you don't want to spend all the points on a twin laser turret,
right,
which is rather
expensive.
Right,
and you can't not give that ship a turret, because Otherwise, that's just like a 20-point tax for whatever their pilot ability is.
I think it's pretty safe to say that if you're building any list in competitive X-Wing, there needs to be some way for that ship to do damage.
Right.
Even if it's unlikely.
The only ship with just one attack, it really needs a turret.
Absolutely.
And the dorsal turret is a very competitively costed upgrade and allows him to get the powerful ability of Rorik on just a 22-point ship. And so Rorik being able to bump up either the Gold Squadron Y-Wing or Biggs getting to shoot one more turn before he dies. Very well-designed list. And he also fills that list out with two Talos Squadron Z-95s.
Always a good choice. The Z-95 is a really well-balanced ship. And at pilot skill 4, that's a good place to be right now because you can kill other Stress Hogs at pilot skill 2 or any other ship, even contracted scouts
right.
at pilot skill 3.
Well, and if Rorik bumps up the Gold Squadron, his whole list shoots at 4 or higher. And as we mentioned, number 1 after Swiss and the winner of the overall event, Joe Kaufman flew 3 contracted scouts with Deadeye, R4 Agromech, Plasma Torpedoes, Extra Munitions, and Guidance Chips. Now, the contracted scout is the generic pilot skill 3 of the Jumpmaster 5000s, the new Scum large base ship.
Yeah, and it's a pretty interesting ship, too. It's got a really cool dial. A lot of it's left one turn and it's left 2 turn, as well as its left 1 bank and its left 2 bank are all green. So it's a dial that tends to favor turning one direction.
This ship has an amazing dial.
But it does have an amazing dial, even across the board, because it does not have a lot of red maneuvers
it's
outside
just
of
the
one sloop and...
And the K turn.
And the K turn.
Yeah,
it's
not
two
only
left
they have,
sloop is white, which is amazing.
They have 2 sloops, one of which is white. The only other ship we have comparable to that is the 4K turn on a Defender, which that was game changing when that came out.
Absolutely.
This list is something we really haven't seen much of in a long time. This is a torpedo-heavy list.
With a rather low pilot skill.
And there's a lot of little things that make this list tick.
This is a list that was discussed a lot, I think, online before Wave 8 was actually released. People kind of testing things out and checking things out. I can say from experience now, having used this list and played against it, that it can be very effective and kind of jarring now. It's very different than anything we've seen in the meta as of late.
Right. It flies differently. It's a list that, if you don't know how to attack it, you can really mess it up because 3 ships with plasma torpedoes, that can really do a lot of damage really quickly. And with that barrel roll action, like, these things are very mobile, not to mention that sweet dial. There's a lot of tricks in this list.
And I think in the hands of a really skilled player like Joe Kaufman, who's now won 3 store championships, the list could be exceptionally deadly. So congrats to Joe on winning his 3rd store championship and the final one of the season.
Congrats, Joe. So let's talk in more detail about the 3 contracted scout list.
So Carson, what makes this list with the loadout of Deadeye, R4 Agromech, Plasma Torpedoes, and Extra Munitions so effective?
You forgot the most important card, which is really what makes this list tick, and that's the new Guidance Chip upgrade. This is a 0-point modification that when you're using a torpedo or missile, you can change one die result to a hit, or if you have 3 primary attack, change that to a critical hit.
So in this case, it is a 2-attack dice ship, so it is changing one of its torpedo results into a hit. That in combination with Deadeye, which allows you to fire the plasma torpedo with a focus and spend the focus rather than having to acquire a target lock, is a huge difference. Not just that it's easier to acquire a focus token, but you can change your target priority on the fly.
Right, and Deadeye's been popular in people flying torpedo lists because of that reason. Usually, one of the inhibiting factors of torpedoes or missiles is if you're a low pilot skill ship, you don't necessarily get a target lock on that first round of shooting. You have to take a focus, which means the higher pilot skill ships get to shoot you before you even get to fire your target lock.
And the other problem, too, if you take a target lock on a ship, if you're a lower pilot skill ship using a munitions, you might take a target lock on a ship, and then by the time that ship moves, you might no longer have that as a valid target.
Right, they could just boost out of your arc. So Deadeye allows you to just take a focus action, and then once it's your turn to shoot, you get to decide who you're shooting your missile or torpedo at. And this happens to combo very well with the salvaged Astromech, the R4 Agromech, which, when you spend a focus, allows you to immediately acquire a target lock.
This can be confusing for some people who have not used the Agromech, but the way it works is typically when you have some kind of combination of focus target lock, you're going to spend your target lock first to reroll die, mostly blanks, and then spend a focus to change focus results into hits. In this case, you can actually kind of do the reverse, where you can spend your focus to fire the missile with Deadeye. So the plasma torpedoes require you have a target lock. Deadeye allows you to use a focus instead of a target lock. And then as soon as you spend the focus, the R4 Agromech lets you acquire a target lock, which could be immediately used on your torpedo shot.
So you don't get that focus to modify your torpedo result. You just have that newly acquired target lock that you got from the R4 Agromech,
which is still pretty effective in getting your dice results to switch to hits.
Well, and then when you combine this with guidance chips, you have a target lock. And then if you don't get four hits, you can just bump either a focus or a blank up to a hit.
So the likelihood that these plasma torpedoes can actually roll four hits is actually really high relative to a non-modified four-dice attack roll.
Now, munitions are best when you are able to sink all four hits, get the maximum value out of them.
Absolutely.
And if you just have that agromech allowing you to get the target lock when you shoot your torpedo,
the likelihood of hitting four hits is...
That's about 31%.
So not terribly high to get four hits. You're probably going to get at least two to three, though.
Right. But you're not going to bank on getting four hits. Whereas just with that 0-point modification of guidance chip allowing you to bump one of those up to a hit, that brings your chances of getting four hits maximum value up quite a bit. It bumps it up from 31% to about 73%.
Which is kind of crazy, especially if you have three jump masters all firing these torpedoes with this modification. There's a good likelihood that at least one or two of those is going to get four
hits on
their
attack
roll.
Right, that's a pretty devastating amount of firepower. Most lists can't put that much firepower out on the first few rounds of shooting.
And it's safe to say, too, for almost any ship in the game, if they got fired at with three plasma torpedoes in a given turn like that, and they were averaging three to four hits on those torpedoes, it's going to very likely kill a ship, if not do a severe amount of damage.
Well, a small base ship. I mean, a big base ship is going to take, I think, two rounds of those torpedoes. But that's still, if you're wiping half their list with just your munitions, that's huge.
And in a tournament setting, if you even took half of a large base's points, just take half their hull and get half those points in MOV right away, that's going to be a big difference too.
I would say that's worth about the 4 points of torpedoes you put in.
So another reason that the Jumpmasters are really good ships right now is that they have an awesome maneuver dial. At speeds 1 and 2, their left turn and their left bank are green, and they have white one hard turns to the right, which is really important on a large base ship because you can really tightly maneuver then in combination with a native barrel roll action.
Right, so that one hard turn with a barrel roll, you can make that so that ship functionally does not move much.
And with a native turret weapon, too, even if it's only two dice, you don't really need to worry about keeping arc on these ships after you've unloaded your plasma torpedoes.
Well, and this allows this ship to play a lot of different roles. Not only is it a powerful alpha strike with those torpedoes, but it's also a very effective blocking ship. And then with that primary weapon turret, even if I bump, I still have a decent shot of getting an attack somewhere and just getting little incremental values of advantage. And so you can very quickly adapt and play a very different game depending on what situation arises.
So from the perspective of people not flying this three contracted scout list, how are we supposed to handle a list that can do this much damage in that initial strike?
Well, so a few things to note is the Jumpmaster has still just 9 hull points, which is very notable for a torpedo platform. And part of its success is it's hard to burn down in one attack.
Right, any given Jumpmaster, even with a really strong high damage output list like a dual aggressor list, it's going to be really hard, if not impossible, to kill one of those ships unless you get some lucky rerolls and crits slipping through somehow.
So I don't think you're going to get it in one turn, but I think it's important to pick one and make sure you focus that down. If you're splitting your fire, you're going to have a really tough time burning through all of their hull. That two agility really adds up over time and makes these difficult to burn down. So you want to focus your fire and start taking them off the board. This can be tricky because, like we said, these are really good blocking ships, which can allow them to mitigate damage on their already damaged ship.
Yeah, pushing the ship that's received the most damage out away from the fight so it's not getting shot at and can continue to take those turret shots.
So this is something you want to anticipate. They're probably going to try and block you. That's probably the smart thing that they want to do once they've started taking damage, and anticipate that and don't let them do it. Hopefully you can set up some range one shots and try and start taking them off the board.
And another thing to note about these ships, with extra munitions, obviously they have two plasma torpedoes they can fire. A key to beating them is you're probably not going to be able to avoid a first volley of plasma torpedoes, but if you can deny as much as possible their ability to shoot that second volley of plasma torpedoes, that'll make all the difference in your game. And the way I've been doing this is by trying to set up the approach. So say I am jousting them from the opposite end of the board, trying to get in a position where we're as close as we can be without exchanging any fire. so just beyond range 3 if possible, and then moving in very quickly after that to try and close into range 1. It's not ideal to get into range 1 of a ship like that because it still rolls 3 attack dice at a range 1 shot, but that's far better than receiving multiple 4 dice modified volleys.
Although one thing you do need to worry about when you do go into that range 1 is you need to either wipe that ship out or make sure you have that 2 left S-loop blocked, because if they're able to execute that white S-loop and still get a
focus
to be able to shoot that torpedo off behind you, that's devastating. Don't give them those opportunities.
Absolutely. So it really is a list that's going to take time for people to learn how to counter. I think there's a lot of sky is falling talk about this list, that it's too good, it's overpowered. I don't think that's the case, because I feel like that was very much the response we saw with, say, a list like 4 TLT Syndicate Thugs with Astromech Unhinged.
Because this list has pretty interesting maneuvering options, I kind of think of it like Phantom, where initially playing against it, I had a really hard time tracking it, knowing where it's going to be.
Right.
But after time, you figure out, okay, what maneuvers do they usually do, and you can have a much better time tracking it, which overall just helps you take it off the board.
So the Contracted Scout is not the only Wave 8 ship, obviously. It's still early on, so we're still kind of getting used to all these new ships and new upgrade cards. I haven't even unpacked all my Wave 8 stuff yet.
Right. A lot of cardboard to punch out.
Oh, lots of cardboard. But there is one ship in particular I think I kind of underestimated early on, and I'm starting to second-guess myself. That is the TIE Advance prototype, specifically the Inquisitor pilot guard.
The Inquisitor is the real deal. There's so many things about this ship that really make it stand out. Those one turns that are green, amazing, making push the limit an excellent option for an elite pilot talent. A lot of green maneuvers, and that one turn green is pretty unique. We really haven't seen that before.
Short of now the Jumpmaster also having it on the left-hand side.
Right, but the TIE Advanced prototype gets to do it on left or right, which is a little bit more uncertainty.
And we don't see a lot with the Imperial Ace-type ships. They don't usually have a lot of close maneuvers. Like, an Interceptor generally has to move pretty quickly to use its green maneuvers, whereas this having green one turns and green one banks makes it very good in a close-up fight. You can reposition a lot with your barrel roll and boost actions.
Right, and I've only played one game with the Inquisitor so far, but that one turn is a sharp cut. Doing a one turn and then being able to barrel roll and boost is a big difference between the Soontir Fell's two-turn barrel roll boost. You're cutting in a lot harder on that. I don't know how we got this far with the Inquisitor without mentioning his pilot ability of when you're attacking with your primary weapon, you always treat that as range one, which is worth noting with the new updated rules that auto thrusters do not trigger with the Inquisitor's pilot ability.
Yes, that was one change they had to clarify in the rules to make sure that this ship functioned the way it was intended. Which is a big deal, especially as a good foil to dual aggressor lists, which tend to rely on that first range 3 volley. They've got their auto thrusters, so they're flipping damage away and deflecting it all, while they're putting out a lot of damage with their heavy laser cannons. Now we've got a ship that beats them on pilot skill, generally, if they're flying at 6 and the Inquisitor's at 8. It denies them that auto thrusters, and it's throwing 3 dice, probably modified some way with a target lock focus or something.
Well, and even more in that situation, the TIE Advanced prototype has engine upgrades, so you can still give yourself auto thrusters. They don't get auto thrusters. You still get auto thrusters, unless you're being shot by another Inquisitor. So that allows the Inquisitor to play an even more unfair game than the aggressors at range 3, which is a sweet meta shaker-upper that the Inquisitor gets to play.
Absolutely, a really cool ship. And with the title that you have on the Advanced prototype, where when you take a target lock, you get a free evade action, you're generally going to have modifications to your attack rolls if you're taking that target lock evade every turn.
Right, and then you throw push limit on that, you're getting 3 actions every turn, and then you have a ton of green maneuvers to clear that stress. It's an amazing ship, and it's really exciting.
Overall, yeah, a really, really cool and interesting ship, one that I definitely underrated, but I'm going to have to start paying more attention to now.
So now, Tim, I think we got to talk about the big flying elephant in the room.
Almost literally a big flying elephant.
The VCX-100, a.k.a. Ghost.
This is a really interesting ship. When they first announced it, I didn't know what to make of it.
Well, it's got so many upgrade options.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's got like 2 crew slots. It's got torpedoes. It's got no EPT, which is noticeable on
my favorite slot, the system upgrade.
The system upgrade, which is always awesome. Or as I like to call it, the fire control system slot.
That's the one I always go to.
It's hard to beat right now. No, this is actually a really cool ship. It is interesting. It's got 4 attack dice. It has a primary firing arc, and it has a what they call a special firing arc that allows you to fire torpedoes out of the rear firing arc.
Or if you have that double title action, you can also fire your primary weapon out the back arc.
Yes, if you take an attack shuttle in your list and equip the title so it's docked on the ghost, you can fire your primary weapon out of your rear arc as well as take a turret shot at the end of the turn. As far as competitive play goes, I don't see people docking attack shuttles on there because I just don't think you still have the damage output that you need. And you really don't want the ghost to die. So maybe someone will prove me wrong, but right now I think there's a lot of value, though, in just the ghost as a standalone ship. Particularly, it's got a great generic pilot, the Lothal Rebel, I believe coming in at 35 points. And with that system and crew slot, that's it.
Oh.
Yeah. And with that system and crew slot, you have a pretty effective four-dice attack if you can get in position for gunner and fire control system. You shoot, you possibly miss, acquire that target lock with fire control system, and then shoot again with gunner.
Absolutely.
Always a great combo, any ship that can take that. The one I've been flying right now, I have not experimented with Hera yet, which is the 7 pilot skill pilot who can, when she performs a green maneuver, she can change it to any other green maneuver, or when she performs a red maneuver, can change it to a different red maneuver, possibly converting a 1 hard red maneuver turn to a crazy 5K.
Yeah, that 5K on a big base ship, that's huge. That thing goes all across the board, and it's turned around, ready to attack you again.
And it makes it pretty effective as a large-based jousting ship, because you're able to get into the fight, and with a K-turn that large, you can sneak behind your opponents then and just move right past them and flip around and get more 4-dice or 5-dice attack at range 1.
Yeah, this is a very interesting ship. I really have no idea how it's going to shake out. It's just got so many moving pieces. I'm sure someone's going to figure it out.
Yeah, I really don't know where this fits in competitively. I have a feeling that it is going to fit in there somewhere. I just don't know what do you pair up with this ship. It's a ship that can really only go up to pilot skill 7 with its highest pilot, lacking that EPT slot. So I don't know where it's going to fall in terms of how it competes with Whispers and high pilot skill ace ships, even like the Inquisitor now.
Right. Well, can you imagine how busted Hera would be at pilot skill 9 with Veteran Instincts?
Oh, yeah, that would be insane. So I can understand why they didn't do that, but it's a cool ship, and I'm really interested to see where it goes competitively. So one ship we didn't cover today, which is just because we have not had any experience flying it or really flying against it very much, is the G1A Starfighter, or also known as the Mist Hunter.
AKA Scum B-Wing.
The Scum B-Wing. It's very similar to a B-Wing in many regards. I actually think it's a really cool ship. It's got 3 attack dice, 1 agility, and then 4 shields and 4 hull. Where it really differentiates from a B-Wing is that it does not have a native barrel roll, but it does have a native evade action.
But you can get the barrel roll action if you give it the title, correct?
Which is a unique title, the Mist Hunter title. It allows you to equip a 1-point tractor beam cannon as well as gain the barrel roll action icon on your action bar. It's a unique title, obviously, so only one of your G1As can have it, but it does add the barrel roll there, like you're saying. But I think it's really interesting to have a ship like this with low agility, high hit points that can take a native evade, because that can really help you out overall, especially if you don't have to depend on your token for offensive output.
Right. B-Wings would be just crazy if they had that evade.
And the G1A comes with a native crew slot and a native system slot. So again, you can use that fire control system gunner combo that is really popular.
A lot of options. We just really haven't had time to really figure this ship out yet.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where this falls in competitive play. Well, that's our show, guys. Thank you so much for listening. A big shout out to Jason Moon for helping me gather squad list information from the top 4 from the Games & More Byron Store Championship. Thank you so much, Jason. That was a lot of help. Radio TCX is going to Adepticon. The Hoth System Open Tournament at Adepticon in Chicago is coming up, and Radio TCX will be there bringing you coverage.
For live coverage of the event, you can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast. And please like our page on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio TCX.
If you really like the show too, it would be a great help to us if you could go onto iTunes and leave a 5-star review. Those reviews mean a lot in growing the show and reaching a wider audience. And that's it. Thanks, guys.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.